What's up? It's your boy Monty G here, back from the Mind of Monty podcast. And here I am talking about the semifinals and I guess even the quarterfinals and the finals of the G1 Climax. You know, I know it's been what, a week and some change actually now since the G1 Climax wrapped up. And I was on such a great streak, but I, believe it or not, I did not have to catch up. I watched it all on the 13th when everything. On August 13th, when everything, you know, wrapped itself up, but that was also congruent with, or you know, around the exact same time that, you know, everything kind of changed and my schedule kind of got flipped on its head. Instead of spending more time being up in the daytime to be able to record these podcasts and get these out to you guys, I was up mostly in the nighttime, and it maybe I could have been able to figure something out, but I was, you know, on night shift duty with me and the baby, and everything kind of got flipped on his head, and my sleep schedule was screwed up. I'm sleeping through it every day, and before you knew it, 10 days, 11 days passed by. So here we are, though, still ready to talk about everything leading up to last time I was here. We talked about the Elite Eight and how we got everyone who was going to be in the quarterfinal set up. Well, let's get right into it. There's no point in me wasting any more time. I think that was at least an adequate explanation for why there was an absence. But I think hopefully I had enough shows in the tuck for you guys, for everyone to kind of catch up and be ready. And even by now, you know, still talking about it kind of in hindsight when it comes to the G1, it's good to finally be able to, I guess, give you a legitimate review. And I'm definitely proud, because honestly, I could have had to do like 5 episodes in one pod or something or whatever, or just like a brief overview to try to catch up with everything. All In is coming up this weekend. I have a pretty special card for AEW. I would try to try my hand in predicting that for you guys, but I don't think this is the show for that. Better just wrap up the G1 Climax and maybe do a review of All In. Maybe not. We'll see. We have a lot of things that's just been taking off in general in wrestling this time of year. In the current state of the business, it is always something going on. But first and foremost, let's get right into it with Naito versus Hikuleo, you know, in the semifinal. You know, again, who's going to make it to the semifinals? Hikuleo was very powerful in this match, as usual. But Naito kind of showed his experience over some of the people who, like Shota Umino and Ren Narita, who lost to Hikuleo in the tournament, you know, before him. He was really doing a lot of damage to the big man's knee. And, you know, when it felt like Hikuleo was, you know, able to use all of his strength, he seemed like he could actually had an advantage, you know, using his power, you know, the snake eyes into a lariat to Naito. And you know, again, he kept trying to do that snap power slam that set up his choke slam, but Naito was thwarted every time, and eventually a missed power slam brought Hikuleo down to the mat, and Naito was able to go after that neck, which, honestly, you'll understand by the end of this show, that was Naito's motto the entire rest of this tournament. He had Esperanza, you know, even though that was reversed into a nice slam and another big boot, you know, Tornado DDT got caught, you know, and to a beautiful last ride powerbomb from Hikuleo, which, honestly, I would like Hikuleo to use that more often. It looked pretty awesome in this one. But, again, it seemed like Hikuleo was going to finally, after hitting the power slam, he was finally going to hit that choke slam to Godsend. But after that, reversing out of the choke slam to a nice DDT, we got a chance to see a Destino. And then the full version of the Destino, the running Destino, the nice second definitive version of the Destino, and Naito advances to the semifinal. So, cool match. Hikuleo really finished this tournament strong and ended up honestly really impressing me. Seemed like he just got better and better as the tournament goes on. It's kind of cool to see that he kind of fits this format perfectly, because he didn't start off the tournament really looking too hot, in my opinion, but he really did a good job of picking it back up. This is Naito's the beginning of the journey to see whether or not this would be Naito's destiny. Will Ospreay was next, again, fighting against David Finlay. he had a pretty tough time with Finley too. It started off kind of seeming like it was going to be like a war dogs, you know. Well, it wasn't seeming like it actually ended up being a War Dogs United Empire type of faction war, which was kind of cool element to add to this match. Also, Finley dominated, or at least did a good job against a lot of other people without needing the overt help of the War Dogs. But when he met up against Ospreay, Gabe Kidd and Coughlin was right there next to him. He definitely seemed like he needed him. Then Ospreay fired back, you know, to try to attempt a leap of faith. But, you know, his face hit the turnbuckle. Finley just seemed like he was ahead of everything. He reversed the Oz Cutter, taking it, you know, as Ospreay would jump off the rope, he would hit him with a Russian leg sweep. But, you know, again, Ospreay finally hit the Oz Cutter on the apron, on the ring frame. Then he powerbombed Finley through the table that the Rebels set up. Then Ospreay just kind of does like he tends to do towards the end of his match, with a nice, you know, flurry of offense. You know, eventually he tried to go for the leap of faith, but the referee was pulled in his path because Finley was trying everything. Then, of course, like I said, that's basically when the faction war kind of took off, and you had the United Empire versus the War Dogs, and it was a, you know, chaos ensued. But, you know, Gato slipped Finley the shillelagh, which he hit Ospreay right in the head, so it really looked like it was going to be maybe an upset here after missing, Ospreay tried to go for the hidden blade, but he got hit with the shillelagh, and a powerbomb, which is something he used on Tama Tonga a lot in that match where he put Tama Tonga on the stretcher. But Ospreay kicked out, Finley denied the hidden blade, but Ospreay denied Oblivion and then finally hit the Stormbreaker so he could get the win. Really good match for Ospreay with Finley, and only the beginning. Well, not really only the beginning, but honestly, Ospreay, you can put Ospreay's matches, pretty much every match he had in the tournament, up against pretty much anybody's, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. And honestly, he's on the way, you know, since he's going into All In, he's fighting Chris Jericho. You know, I'll talk about it again in the semifinals because it looks like, I think this set it up to be Naito versus Ospreay next. But again, Ospreay's run in this tournament, I don't know how he can do it the way he does it, and then at the schedule he does it at, you know, because even ahead of All In he fights Tsuji, and you know, he has just so much stuff going on constantly, and he just never stops. But really, really impressive stuff there. And Finley was not able to get the win that he wanted again. So they were really, really happy. The crowd was really, really into Ospreay picking up that victory. But next, it was someone who never makes the crowd happy anymore. It was Evil, and he had Dick Togo with him. And you pretty much know how this goes. Even though at the beginning of this match, I guess since he either looks at Sonata as nobody or kind of like, I guess, feigning his old tag team partner with the guise of he's going to fight him straight up one-on-one. But Togo came back really, really fast. It didn't take long at all. You know, again, Evil pretty much did everything that he usually do that you could just basically write, you know, knock off the bingo card when it comes to Evil. You just pretty much know what he's going to do in almost every match, and he definitely did it. And, you know, again, Sonata tried to seem like maybe he was going to kind of go to a darker place, and I think that's the only way he's going to beat a guy like Evil. He tried in the past, he's out-wrestled Evil's tactics, but I don't know if he was going to be able to do that. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that going forward, because he definitely wasn't able to do it here, as even though he did whatever he could, everyone knows how this goes. Yes, Dick Togo helped out, but honestly, this was the cleanest of Evil's victories probably in the entire tournament, and definitely in a while when it comes to Evil. You know, he's never really takes out anyone on his own, but he kind of handled the champion on his own here. And Sonata's first loss, I just have to say, Chris Charlton and May, I don't know if anyone else was so hard on Sonata, but it was some people who seemed to be, Chris Charlton was very disappointed in Sonata, and I just don't understand. Not because of Dick Togo, because he's right. Maybe he should have four guys with him, you know, the other four guys with him when he's going against House of Torture. But it's not even just that. It's just like the guy was undefeated the entire tournament, and then he loses to Evil, who does what Evil does. You know what I'm saying? And now we have to question his entire tournament and question his reign as champion. I'm not buying it. But honestly, let's get on to another beautiful match. Probably the best match of the night, setting up the semifinals. It was Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kazuchika Okada. And man, you know, this is a really, really good match. I don't think these guys have ever had a not an interesting match. At times, it looked like Zack Sabre Jr. was able to keep the pace, but really, Okada was just in another mode. You know, he seemed angry at times. He spiked ZSJ over the guardrails with that DDT, dropped him right on his head. Sabre had to create a weakness, man, you know, and he went to that arm and neck to finally get back into things. Of course, you know how Zack Sabre Jr. goes if you watch New Japan or if you watch Zack Sabre Jr. do his thing. A lot of submission control, but Okada was there with a drop kick to finally kind of switch the tone back. Sabre was right back with him, though, with a nice German suplex. And it was a very hard-hitting match after a while, man. And I really liked the European uppercuts that really took a lot of Okada. But, of course, another drop kick in supply from Okada, the perfect drop kick that he has. He hit the landslide, but the Rainmaker did not hit. And a match to continue as, you know, Zach kind of hit a Rainmaker himself, which was really, really awesome. You know, but as it went on, you could tell that Sabre was doing everything he could to just try to hang in there with Okada and try to survive. But man, not a flash pins. That really seemed like Zach had a chance, and that Zach driver really was a cool spot that made it seem like Zach was going to win here. But it was nothing. He could not follow up with the pin. And as everything reset, Sabre would, you know, again try to do what he can, fight nail and tooth to just stay in this match. But after he threw a big Larry, Okada set him up for the Rainmaker, which was countered. But before he could actually use the submission hold to finish, Okada found the Cobra Flosion and then hit another Rainmaker, and Okada put him away. Again, these guys just two of the best in the world. Never miss when they in an encounter that they've ever had over the years, whether Zach was working more of a, not going to say heel style, but whether Zach was working more of a, you know, contentious style, or whether or not Zach was, you know, in the current phase, you know, whether he's Suzuki Goon, whether he's with Dangerous Techers, or whether he's now in TMDK, these guys just don't have bad matches together. Two of the best. You have possibly the best in New Japan ever. And then you have Zack Sabre Jr., who I still think is the best technical wrestler in the world, even if maybe Bryan Danielson can say, well, I beat Okada and, you know, Okada dominates Zack for the most part. So maybe Bryan is the best. But honestly, I still take Zack because I've never seen anyone do what Zack has been able to do, even though I love Danielson, and Danielson is right there. One day, AEW or whoever, someone, make it happen. Next year's G1, I don't know, Wrestle Kingdom at some point. If we can get them both healthy and in the same place, why the hell are we haven't done it yet? That's all I have to say about that. Awesome match. Okada moves on, and as you can see, that sets up Evil versus Okada, and we have Ospreay versus Naito in the semifinals. So the first semifinal, of course, was Evil and Okada, and honestly, you know, after what happened to Sonata, I'm not even going to break down this match to an extent, because even though I thought Evil brought his A game, and he looked really, really good at times, it was tough to not to think back to like the old Evil and how he beat Okada back in the day in a really impressive, just straight up contest. But this was anything but that. Evil realizing, now this is what I want to talk about. I'm not gonna say it's bad because it's Okada. Like, let's just, like, you have to phrase everything in that light and make it, let it be known that it's, he has a different, you know, criteria when you're talking about how things go when it comes to Okada. So I understand it. He's like the final boss. I get it. But Evil used the entire House of Torture, everyone that he could, to try to thwart Okada. And Okada made them look like bums. Overcame them all after Sonata struggled to just really handle Dick Togo and Evil. Now, I know Sonata has an arm injury, and maybe even that Sonata will most likely win there the encounter that Evil earned by beating him, which we'll get into in a second, setting up after what happened, you know, later on. But I'm not gonna say I was mad at it, because it was still a satisfying conclusion. Because let's just be honest, I among a lot of other people probably did not want to see Evil in the finals of the G1 Climax. Let's just be real. But And I did not really think he would be there either, even with the whole entire crew out there. But it does, you know, kind of leave a sour, bitter taste in my mouth that the world champion could not handle Dick Togo and Evil. But Okada would take out the entire crew pretty easily, you know, even though, of course, Evil did everything he could, tried the low blow, actually successfully did it. And, you know, even after, and it was a nice false finish in this match where he hit everything as Evil, and I was like, he beat him, and it didn't work. Okada kicked out. So, again, they made the Rainmaker look very, very strong. But, honestly, the Cobra Flojan, the Rainmaker, is just a combination that's really, really tough to thwart, and he was one step closest to winning his fifth G1. And I must also say that, you know, with everything being said, he's Okada. You know what I'm saying? He's just unstoppable. And honestly, I thought he was going to three-peat. Like, he's that. You never can just go against him. Even when you think the company should make the right, well, I say right in that case, but make a decision against Okada. He's so damn good. The way they make him look is just marvelous. And he's the biggest star by far in the company. So you can never count him out, especially in a big spot. But we'll talk about the final in a second. Let's get the other semifinal out the way. This match was just beautiful. You know, I honestly say, watch Tetsuya Naito's last two matches in the Cup. It's kind of, I guess, a spoiler alert. Naito did beat Ospreay here. And, man, it really, at this point, I think it's been talked about probably a lot. You know, you can even go to my Twitter and find some edited up clips of how great Naito's match with Ospreay was, and same thing for his match with Okada in the final. But man, this was just, I can't even really do it justice, man. It was an electric atmosphere. Ryu Goku, man, I thought they would be on Naito's side, but honestly, throughout early in the match, they seemed to really be on Ospreay's side. But I mean, Naito really won them over, where he just kind of kept showing unbelievable fighting spirit. You know, and Naito worked on Ospreay's neck. I love when Naito's in break your neck mode. And I think in both of these matches, to wrap the G1 up, Naito was definitely in that mode of, okay, I'm going to take your neck out. You know what I'm saying? And it's just something about Naito. When he goes to that place, he's really, really hard to stop, because that's what a lot of his big moves impact. A lot of his big moves impact the neck area. So it sets up his offense perfectly. You know, but Ospreay was just unbelievable in this one, man. You know, just the sky twist to the floor, even though Naito stopped it. It was a dangerous situation on the apron. And Ospreay tried to go for the apron Oscutter, but then he got hit with a neck breaker, which was really one of the times where I just, okay, yeah. Now I can tell Naito was in that same mode him and Kota Ibushi was in the past, when it seemed like they both were trying to take each other's necks out and drop each other on their head. Man, it was beautiful. I don't even really know. I could go more into all the spots, you know, because, you know, he hit up, you know, it was a nice, Naito tried to do his trademark Frankenstein, but it was chained to a Poison Rana, which was great. Ospreay landed on his feet, and then, you know, kind of like what he used to when he was a junior, but then, of course, he hit the a Shooting Star Press, and it was just, yeah, like I said, the match got dangerous. It got very, very ferocious, I guess is a great way to describe it. It was awesome, man. And Naito just would hang on, man. Even when Ospreay hit everything, you know, he was denying the Oz Cutter for a while, but he took a power bomb. And then he hit Naito would hit Valencia, and he gambled. Man, one of the biggest reactions of the night. Every time Naito does it, he gets a reaction. One day, maybe in the future, he will hit the Stardust press, but it did not work. He tried. He missed. Ospreay hit the Hidden Blade, so it really seemed like it was going to be it for Naito. The hook kicks, you know, Naito seemed like he was supposed to dodge one and kind of fell right into a kick, and he was out at that point. And somehow Ospreay, you can kind of hear him, especially on English commentary, but if you're looking at the Japanese commentary, you couldn't tell. I think that was probably the best way of it. But if you look at the English, you can hear Ospreay helping him through the end there, making sure he realized that what he had to do, had to dodge the next Hidden Blade. And, you know, again, you know, Naito was out for the 10 count, but he pushed the referee so the match could keep going. He kicked out of the Hidden Blade, Oscutter, and a Leap of Faith. And then after they tried to do a storm, after Ospreay tried to do a Stormbreaker, it was a beautiful reversal into a Hurricane Rana for two. Then another try at the move was countered into a Destino, and then he hit fine, and then a second Destino, and then a third Destino for Naito to advance into the finals. Just an unbelievable match. I honestly thought, I knew that he was due. Naito's been due for wins, in my opinion, in the past, especially against guys like Okada. And I honestly, they killed it last year in the semifinals, Ospreay and Naito. And for Naito to get his revenge the way he did, purely surviving, putting even the next night's main event in doubt, because we didn't have any clue about just how out of commission he was after, you know, because I don't know. I mean, he definitely could have been in trouble. The way that one went, and the way he just seemed like he was out on his feet, and Ospreay had to kind of guide him through. But man, that was a beautiful match, perfect. And again, you can't argue with Ospreay's, resume. I feel like if you just want to go through the tournament and probably get a big chunk of the best matches of the entire G1 Climax, just go watch every Ospreay match in this tournament. He was that good. In recent promos on AEW and all of that, he's been telling people he's the best in the world. He's better than this guy, better than that guy. And honestly, when he worked, I don't really see anybody even close. Like, you know, maybe you could go with Gunther in WWE at this moment, because he pretty much have good matches every single time. It's a completely different style. But you know what I mean, you know. Of course, Seth Rollins has always been through in there. But honestly, Ospreay, even Omega, honestly, he may not. Omega years ago, of course, but Omega at this point, I'm not saying he's not still that guy, and I think Omega can prove it. Whenever he gets another big time singles situation, I mean, we've seen what he's done with Ospreay. So again, most of the best matches of the year that have Omega in it was with Ospreay. So I don't know if Ospreay's formula can just be stopped. And he said at one point, you know, because of injuries, that we don't know how much longer we're going to have Ospreay, and honestly, I just want him to take over the world. Do whatever he can while he's still going, because, man, is he good. After this, he would change the belt, I think, change the U.S. title to the U.K. belt. He kind of hinted at this throughout the tour. Nice new design, because the other belt looked kind of old and all of that. And honestly, as long as the belt is getting used, I don't really care. You know, if he's going to only defend it in Rare Pro or whatever, however it's going to turn into. It's kind of funny. They have a British heavyweight title that Ospreay is kind of synonymous with. So looking at him with the IWGP UK belt is kind of funny to me, honestly. But hey, as long as he has it, as long as they want to do something with it, I know he's defending that against Tsuji on the 24th. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens with him as champion. And I think in other news for this night, we had Hanare taking out Eddie Kingston in a nice attack. So I'm assuming the Strong Openweight Championship somewhere in America most likely will be on the line. And maybe Hanare can finally win a title. You know, he had some great matches. That was one of the highlight matches, I think, of the tournament was Hanare versus Eddie Kingston. And I'm really happy for Hanare. He seemed to really make a name for himself. And I thought Eddie Kingston, not only was he awesome in Japan, but he did an awesome job here by, you know, kind of, you know, paying it forward and getting Hanare even more over across the world, because I think a lot of people who may not even really know much about Hanare probably took a liking to him after watching him work with Shingo and Eddie Kingston in the tournament. And then also we had, again, new member of G.O.D. I think I called it. I don't know if I called it, but I knew that he kind of fit well with Tama and, Hikuleo and even T. But this is about Hikuleo, Tama Tonga, and ELP in this situation as they kind of faced off matching up with the War Dogs. So maybe you'll get the Strong Openweight Tag titles on the line at some point between ELP, Hikuleo, and the War Dogs. And then, of course, Tama Tonga getting that victory over Finley. Seemed like he will be getting his rematch also. And before I talk about the G1 Climax Finals, let's just go ahead and get into the despicable sight that happened before we got to the finals because of House of Torture. Not only did Evil take Sonata's belt, he kind of handcuffed him to the ropes, kind of hung him there, and just embarrassed Sonata, man. You know, after he beat the champion out a couple days ago in this situation, everyone from the five guys kind of got took out, and then the rest of the House of Torture, you know, you got Show taking Tai Chi's belt, so he'll probably be the next KOPW challenger. And you have Evil, you know, not only, we knew he's probably going to get a title shot after beating Sonata, but, you know, beating him and leaving him displayed on the ropes like that, and, you know, again, taking out basically the entire five guys who's probably been the hottest faction of the entire tournament so far. That was the way they kind of let their mark be known on finals night. But yeah, man, this set up the biggest match of the tournament. Two guys who know each other so well. The two of the biggest rivals in New Japan history. And that is Kazuchika Okada and Tetsuya Naito. 6 years to the day after Naito last won the G1 Climax. He was one-on-one with Okada here, and we all know, like I said, I told you, it's a lot of times Naito has felt like him winning was due or the proper way to close things off. And it's been against Okada in the past where it felt like he should have won, like at Wrestle Kingdom. I'll never forget it a few years back. I honestly, it's so traumatic to me. I've blocked out the entire year that it happened, but I'll never forget it because he definitely should have won that match. But Okada was just on an all-time run at the time, and he beat Naito legitimately, even though everyone in the crowd wanted that to be Naito's night. And even eventually when he got his moment at Wrestle Kingdom in 2020, we all know what happened there with Kenta and not being able to do the roll call. And then Evil turned on him in the New Japan Cup, so he didn't even get a legit run with the belt. So a lot of stuff has happened. LIJ has changed. The roll call is going to be completely different than what it would have been, if he was to beat Okada here. But again, let's get right to it. The Ryugoku crowd knew exactly who they wanted to win this one. This is all about Naito. Again, at this point, Okada is just that guy. So everyone is kind of rooting for the underdog for the most part whenever Okada is fighting, unless he's fighting Evil, of course. The pace quickened, and these guys, again, at this point, they've just done so much, and I think their chemistry any Naito and Okada match you find, you're going to just see fantastic chemistry. It's always been comments about how Naito has said, like in the past when he told Tanahashi, oh, don't worry about it, Okada's going to, you know, be the guy and whatever, which is a bad summary of what Tanahashi said Naito said. But basically, Naito's always kind of been nonchalant about things, at least from the other's point of view, because he kind of knew that Okada would be the guy. And that is the way things have played out ever since they both came back from excursion. But this match, man, I think this meant just so much. And you could tell by the way Naito was fighting that he was not going to let things go the way it has went in the past. Signature mind games by the LIJ man with his pose. And you know how he does diving, faking to dive through the ropes. But Okada was able to catch him with a flapjack and a basement dropkick. And again, both guys went after each other's necks, man. You know, Okada escalated things dramatically, you know, moving to the ring apron, trying to get a DDT, as he actually did drop him right on his head on the apron. And then Naito with a beautiful way to kind of pick it up for his side with a neck breaker right on the barrier, right on the barricade, which these barricades are not like WWE barricades or anything. These are legit metal. So you can hear it over the steel barrier gate. And Okada was barely able to get back after the 20. But honestly, after being able to land his own neck breaker, Okada was able to create some distance. Because, again, these guys were both going after each other's neck. Again, like I say, it was kind of a neck-for-neck type of situation. Okada would drive him head first yet again, this time with a tombstone to the floor. And then they finally got back to the ring eventually, and Okada hit him with a high German suplex. Again, you know where that and landed. Spinning Rainmaker and a drop kick. So it just seemed like, again, Okada was just up against it because whenever you're fighting, Naito was up against it because whenever you're fighting Okada, you are up against it. He is a mountain when it comes to New Japan Pro Wrestling and the way things go. And again, back to his feet, Naito spat in Okada's face defiantly, as he always does. Finally hitting a swinging DDT, which is beautiful. Holding on to the wrist, he would hammer down the forearms to the side of his head and neck area. And also a nice Frankensteiner before hitting the Pluma Blanca, which Okada trapped in the center of the ring. Okada seemed like he was going to be, you know, losing consciousness when he was trapped in that nice submission hold, but he finally got to the rope. Esperanza landed, then Valencia, which, you know, that almost got him the victory. And it seemed like Naito was ready to make, you know, be right where he wanted to be, win this match. He tried to do a Stardust Press again, and Okada just narrowly got out of the way. And once again, like I said, at some point, I think he will hit it again. You know, that used to be his old finish. For all the people who don't know, the Stardust Press, that's why all the people who've been fans of Naito and even the people who voted against him back in the day, when it was that vote that we all know of that kind of shifted Naito's whole entire career. Honestly, even, you know, the crowd still gets excited whenever he goes for it, but he never hits it anymore. He can't hit it. I don't know if it's a deeper story. That's why I say I feel like at some point, maybe at Wrestle Kingdom, if he gets past Okada, he'll be able to hit it. But again, almost earned the victory later on in the match, but Okada, shotgun dropkick, you know how that goes. Naito won a couple matches in the G1 with that swinging DDT roll-up, but this time, not this time, as Okada was able to get out of it. He tried to go for Destino. He tried to go for Destino, and instead found himself a victim of another dropkick, then a landslide. As a Naito fan, that's when I was just like, oh, man, it's over, because landslide is usually a sign of the end when it comes to fighting Okada. He had a short arm lariat, but then counter after counter, and then both men tried to hit their finish, but Naito would finally come out on top with Destino, but Okada was able to kick out and immediately hit with another landslide, and then Naito hit with another Destino, you know what I'm saying, and just a mountain of damage done to the neck. Two successful Destino already hit, so Naito go for the third and final to put the icing on the cake, and that's it. The third G1 climax win for Tetsuya Naito, and like I said, 6 years to the date of his last victory, he defeats Kazuchika Okada, finally lifts the trophy up, big celebration, does the roll call, and if you are an LIJ Naito fan like me, you were almost to tears. I honestly was. I have no problem admitting that. He's my guy. He's my favorite wrestler. And I think the thing that made me emotional is not because of what he won. Honestly, he talked in the press conference after this that, you know, how much this would mean to him personally because of losing his grandfather after, you know, not being able to do the roll call in 2020. And he lost his grandfather. He thought he would never be able to do it. So he dedicated that match and dedicated that roll call to his grandfather, which, awesome. Of course, that makes you emotional, but it's not even just that. I was really emotional for Naito because, honestly, I thought it was over. I thought after the Ospreay victory that they were moving towards him, you know, going away from the main event scene and maybe trying to go towards Shingo. Well, Sonata left, and at first I was thinking maybe they wanted to put Sonata finally towards the main event, and they did, but not as a part of LIJ. And, you know, again, it was just a special moment that I was very happy that Naito was able to pick up the victory. And it was just cool, you know. And then the fact that it was Okada that he beat, you know, finally getting over that mountain again, as undeniable as Okada usually is, that was also a special part of this too. And, you know, again, those last few matches, I think, since I know that I have people like the cast of the WNR podcast and just so many other fresh faces who are finally checking out the G1, because that's what Forbidden Door does so well, that it kind of sets up everyone who may not know much about New Japan but was impressed with New Japan guys on Forbidden Door. Well, it leads right into the G1, and I think for the second year in a row, it did a great job of setting people up. Then you have people like Eddie Kingston who can bring more eyes from America or just from around the world to the G1, so for anyone who got invested enough to keep watching the G1 and be connected to the final, to get a chance to see my favorite wrestler show why he's my favorite wrestler, even against the guys like Ospreay, who's, like I said, probably the best in the world right now, then Okada, who, if he's not the best in the world, he's number three, number two, wherever you want to put him, you know what I'm saying? So again, for him to do that against those guys in this spotlight with again, these fresh faces, If you thought that last year his match with Ospreay had more to do with Ospreay than it has to do with Naito, I was happy that he was able to do this two times in a row to show you that no, he's one of the best in the world. Also, has always been, in my opinion. And backstage, Jeff Cobb would be quick to remind Naito that he beat him, and he's gonna challenge him soon for his spot at Wrestle Kingdom, and that's awesome to me. Hopefully Naito will be able to fight off Jeff Cobb, because Jeff Cobb, man, he really let me down. Now, that'll be a good way to kind of save yourself after kind of embarrassing choke, in my opinion, for Jeff Cobb at the end of the G1, with the losses he took there towards the end, even though I understand the last one was kind of Shane Hayes using strategy. But even, again, it'd be kind of cool to see if Jeff Cobb can take him down again, but I think Naito is determined. He's so close to finally getting a chance to get his victory and get a victory back over Sonata, and possibly, or possibly Evil. Who knows? It's personal either way there. And I hope it's not Evil, but he'll be able to do the roll call. I said some sentimental crap, like he should be able to do the roll call, even with the ex-members. Shout out to Evil, shout out to Sonata. But honestly, who cares, man? Just as long as he gets that roll call opportunity at Wrestle Kingdom, he can finally put that story to bed that he's been trying to tell. And he can get a nice little run, no matter to me how long it lasts at this point. Because honestly, he's anointed. He's up there right with Okada with G1 victories. He's just, and no, I think Okada was going for five here. Or was he going for four? He was just going for three in a row. Yeah. So never mind. Okada's still one ahead of him in when it comes to G1s, I think. But at the end of the day, you can't take away that out of the last 10 G1s, it's been Okada and Naito who've taken a bulk of them. So yeah, man, it's been cool. It's been really, really cool watching the G1 climax. This is the result that's kind of meant for me, so it's kind of cool that I was able to stay on top of this all the way till the end here. Because if you know anything about me, if you listen to me talk about New Japan for years on this platform, then you know that Tetsuya Naito is my favorite. One of the reasons why, not only did I podcast, but he's one of the reasons why at the end of the day, New Japan has been taking $9 from me for about 7-8 years now, and I have no problem with that, because this is some of the best wrestlers in the world. The G1 climax is a big part of that. Every year, I feel like I get my money's worth. So, yeah, man, I love it. It was an awesome tournament. Naito is your winner. We set up things going forward with Sonata and Evil. We have other tags. We have the tag team title situation. They had the best of the Super Junior thing that seemed to be setting up Speedball Mike Bailey versus Hiromu down the line or somewhere. I know they just did the multiverse show with Impact. I didn't get a chance to see that one yet. But again, New Japan is doing big things, going into trying to set up things for Wrestle Kingdom and for their shows right before Wrestle Kingdom and Tag League at the end of the year. Like I said, next will be All In. I don't know if I'm going to be doing a review or what my next podcast will actually be about or what I'll be talking about. But again, I want to thank everyone for taking the time out to listen to a guy, talk about New Japan for 20, 30 plus minutes, sometimes almost even an hour, just to break down a bunch of action that it may even sound monotonous. I hope I'm doing a good job breaking some of the stuff down. That's why I wanted to be more in depth. I'm going to be doing a Double Nut podcast, another G1 climax review, but I won't be going as nearly as much detail as I did this time. I'm going to try to be committing a lot to memory. So if I make a mistake or forget something, I'm just going to direct people to this show in the last five or six podcasts, because, again, I worked hard on trying to document everything I could and all my opinions on the G1. So, again, thank you guys for listening. I have to start doing a better job of announcing these things and letting you guys know what's next, the upload schedule. But honestly, I don't even be having an outline for the shows prepared, because things are just so hectic. Sometimes the night shift, sometimes the day shift, sometimes, I'm busier than others. Who knows? Honestly, everything is just always in the air. But I'm always going to try to return back to the Mind of Monty podcast to get my thoughts on things. I'll start taking notes so I can continue to be more diverse. I made some promises, or at least in the past, like reviewing certain shows. I've been watching a lot of anime, so maybe I can even give some of those, breakdowns. I can talk about JJK now, finally, because I'm starting to catch up and finally know something about Jujutsu Kaisen and even Demon Slayer and, you know, a mountain of content that could be coming your way from the Mind of Monty podcast platform. And I just want to thank everyone for listening. I'm going to go and try to get myself reset and set up for what's going to be going on. I've also been taking watching a lot of classic wrestling too, from like 2003 from WWE. And I just want to say there's a lot of garbage in there, but there's also some gems. There's also some, you know, some gems. I gotta keep coming back to it for some reason, you know. But anyway, that's it. That's enough rambling. That's enough talk. Thank you guys for listening. This has been your G1 Climax review. And yes, man. Destino De Japón. I am an honorary member all the way from America. Okay, I'm not. But again, big time victory for Naito. Very, very happy that I was able to watch that. And yeah, man, that's it. I'm signing off. Adios. I got that from Naito, by the way. I said it like him. I'm not Latin at all. So, sorry. Adios.